Everyone has a story to tell. People, places, and international exchange. Join us to hear the extraordinary stories of exchange alumni and how their lives have been forever changed. This is Voices of Exchange.
Hello, everyone. Happy holidays. My name is Maria Iliadis, and I'm here today with the whole team behind the ECA podcast, Voices of Exchange. We're sharing our favorite moments from Voices of Exchange in 2021 just for you in this special year in review episode. With us today, we have the whole Voices of Exchange team.
Hello, everyone. This is Asha Bay from ECA.
Hey, guys. It's Desmond Ferris, podcast producer, tech producer. Just happy to share these clips with you guys.
Hey, guys. This is Emily Rand, communication specialist on the team. We've learned a lot in 2021 since we've launched the podcast, and we're now almost at the end of the second season. So I wanted to go around and see what everyone's favorite moment from Voices of Exchange was so far.
And since I'm leading this off, I have to start with one of my favorites. So this one is from episode 3 in season 2 with Stephanie Zong.
I went in pretty sure I was going to be a professor and live a Dead Poets Society kind of life. That was where I was at, right? And I had my lane of research that I wanted to bring to the table. And, you know, so Alex Kuo, the professor I worked with, I was honestly struggling in academia personally. There was something I was resisting and I couldn't figure out what it was. And one day, you know, we're in the middle of doing all the festival activities. And Alex, who is he's a professor, right? He's a tenured professor. And he looks at me and he says, Stephanie, I don't think you should be a professor. You don't want to be an academic.
Maria, I see how you can relate to this episode in this quote in specific, because I know, like some of us know, you have a background in journalism. And if they don't know, now they do. But I see how it relates to you. But what did you take from this?
Maria was also a teacher. She was actually a professor overseas. So I think that's another reason she can relate to this.
Yeah, you guys are both hitting on actually a couple of reasons. So I was going to say, one, I thought at one point I would be a professor. So I did my master's degree at Oxford. And I went in thinking, oh, I'm going to be a professor, maybe dealing in Greek, Turkish stuff. And then pretty early in, I thought, no, I don't actually want that. I want to practice doing something. And that's eventually what led me into social media. I'd already been doing journalism. And that, you know, hearing Stephanie talk about, you know, in her episode of going on this international exchange and coming to that big life realization, oh, this isn't what my life is meant to be. I feel like I related on it on a couple of levels from my own experiences in academia, and then also just being abroad, because I spent 7 years overseas in total. And I think I just had a lot of revelations, and that was just that moment. And I think we all have those moments as young people. And I think international exchange does that too, where we think, oh, wait, hey, this thing that I thought I wanted to be, it's actually not it. It's actually something else, you know, and you get to reveal it in those conversations. So that was my moment with this particular clip. And I thought, ah, she's like, I feel like I see myself. I don't know if you guys have had those moments too. Like Desmond, I don't know if you ever had a moment like that.
Well, that kind of takes me to my clip, which was Dr. Brandon Obunu.
When I think about kind of the long view of what my story is, painted with the classical descriptions of, right, you know, an African-American growing up in a, right, in a, you know, at best lower middle class, but probably not even setting. I like to describe it with that. That's an important detail. But by an enormous amount of privilege I have being raised by the woman that I was raised by. So I think I was raised by an African-American woman from Baltimore. And I think I had a lot of an advantage over a lot of other people in my community because she was, I mean, really just an extraordinary person. And I think most mothers are extraordinary people, but she kind of had this view of there's nothing in this world that you can't have.
The reason I chose Brandon, he had a similar story to how Stephanie, they had a path that they were going on and it kind of veered from that. But the part I really took from his story was his connection with his mother. And as many of you guys know, in the back office, me and my mother are very close. My mom lives with us. It would, you know, we have a great relationship. And the fact that his mother pushed him and set these, you know, goals and morals in place for him. And then he took that same setting and took it beyond that. But at the end of the day, he never forgot that his mother was the core. He said his mother was way smarter than he ever would be. She just didn't have the opportunities. And I see a lot of that, you know, in how I am, you know, being degreed in what I do and stuff like that. But if I didn't have the hard work or the morals or everything that was established from an early onset with my mother and how she raised me, I don't know where I'd be. And some of us that have that relationship, like Dr. Brandon Obunu did, it led him to being a professor at Yale, esteemed epidemiologist. And, you know, which kind of relates to me, you know, we both had these push, but it all started at home, you know, as some would say, being a mama's boy.
Desmond, I really like what you're saying about, you know, how closely Dr. Obunu's, you know, childhood experiences tie into his current work. And one thing that he talks a lot about in this quote, you know, is the importance of owning your differences. And, you know, I think he really makes the point that, you know, realizing that you're going to, you know, make a bigger impact when you own your differences and, you know, and also credit those around you, like his mother, like what you're saying, both, you know, played such a big role in helping him get to where he is. So my favorite clip is a recent one from season two with Maria Ilias.
I felt that this constant identity conflict that I had carried with me, or always do carry with me, was just, you know, it was as if somebody had unlocked a cage in my soul and let it roam freely. I was so happy, you know, to be able to connect with people through Turkish. I forgot to mention that while I was teaching English classes, I got to also learn a ton of Turkish, and my linguistic abilities allowed me to connect with Turkish people in a meaningful way. And when I think about also, you know, why I chose to pursue Korean Foreign Service, I think about that experience as well, because the way you can connect with others by speaking their language is, you know, breaking down barriers that you know, otherwise may not be able to do.
And what I love about this quote and just kind of the episode in general is how open-minded Maria talks about becoming, you know, as someone who grew up as a dual citizen, having her, you know, her family immigrated from Pakistan, and who kind of has this shared identity. Her, you know, she talks about how her Fulbright was a place where she could feel fully herself and make friends and experience different worlds. And, you know, her advice, I thought was, you know, really resonant for those interested in an exchange, is, you know, saying yes to things, whether it's, you know, being invited. I think she was talking about being invited into someone's home for dinner and playing backgammon in a, you know, a smoky cafe. Saying yes to things, you know, can really be so valuable. And that's true in all aspects of life, I think.
I also, one thing that I liked about what she talked about was how she stood up to her dad, because her dad had a different path laid out for her. He wanted her to, you know, go to graduate school, get married. And she was like, I need to go on this Fulbright. It's a once in a lifetime experience. And she went on it.
Exactly, Asha. I love that.
I also have another favorite moment from season two, which was the Dan Tani episode.
You know, I lived in Japan for a couple of years, and you'd be on the subway and it's packed and you're in the middle and the doors open. There are 20 people are going to try to get on, and there's hardly a room for one person to get on. And what that team needs right now for you standing in the middle is for you to shuffle over 3 inches so that the next guy can shuffle over 4 inches so you can make room. And I think of leadership like, you know, my job, but the team right now is this car of people. And the thing I can do to help this car of people right now is to squeeze into the corner a little bit more so that more people can squeeze in and we can get 2 or 3 more people onto the car. And I really now think about, how do you help the team? And what does the team mean? Is it my family? Is it my community right now? Is it, and a lot of time it's the world. And what can I do? What's my role in the world? And what can I do best to help that team? So I try to shrink all of our experiences down to, we all live here. This is our home. And, we speak different languages and we eat different food. And if we can see ourselves as mostly the same, you know, maybe some of the problems that we're experiencing can be a little bit less. We're not going to eliminate all pain and all suffering, but if we can all feel like we're all in this together, you know, maybe our attitudes can change a little bit, and we can have a better attitude about each other.
So this was an interesting episode for me. Because we didn't originally record the interview. It was recorded by our colleagues who did the previous ECA podcast, 2233. And but they hadn't gotten around to using the interview. And so they shared it with us and we thought, wow, this is a great interview. And I really liked what he was saying about his experience in the things that he's learned, from being as a NASA astronaut, but also what he's done with it later, and how he actually, when he went overseas as a speaker, as part of the U.S. speaker program, he actually that was planted the seed for living overseas with his family. So he actually lived in Japan for a couple of years. And that's what he talks about, when he's on the subway, and then just like the teamwork part of it. But I also liked what he was saying about people like all of us who are living on Earth together, and how we can, you know, even though we're coming from different backgrounds, we're eating different foods, there are problems that we're all facing, but if we think about it as we're all on this planet together, I just like that whole part where he's like, we can have a better attitude.
And it's Dan Tani, not Tanny, right? Right, Asha?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
That was a hard part we learned going through the episode. We were exactly ready to go. And it's like, oh, how do we pronounce this? Oh, yeah, we got it right.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Dan Tani. We had to say it a couple of times. I mean, originally I was even saying in my head Tani, and I think it was when Asha said Tani, I thought, oh, okay, that's how that's pronounced. Okay, yes. Fixing that.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, he introduces himself in the episode, so you would think that, oh, we heard that. But at the same time, some people in our office were referring to him as Danny. So in my mind, I was thinking Danny Tani. But it's Tawny.
Yeah, that doesn't help. I wanted to go back though in that clip that you're talking about, that there's that bit about teamwork, and if I don't know if you wanted to talk a little more about that, of like how that's striking. I know we deal a lot in career things, especially with our other program, Mentor Talks. But this one we usually don't get in so much with things that are very career oriented and Voices of Exchange.
It's true. I mean, we are tangentially getting into the careers because we're, I think, showing the path that different people have taken as they progressed. They've done their exchange and then what they're doing after it. Mm-hmm. But I also, I like the whole notion of teamwork because that really describes so accurately the way we put together this podcast. Each of us are very active in putting it together. And if we didn't have our whole team, it would be really hard to do.
No one can tell right now, but I'm grinning a little bit and I feel very,
you
very,
aren't the
very
only
touched
one.
And very seen.
You aren't the only one.
You can't see me.
we all play an equally important role in kind of the creation of this podcast, I feel like.
Exactly. We each take turns, like, you know, working on a script, take turns interviewing guests, and, you know, and then we have Desmond, who's like putting together all the audio and making it sound really great, you know, and Desmond also coaches us, like, that's when true. We're doing, like, you know, the intros and the closings, you know, giving us, you know, saying, yeah, you got to put more energy in that. So it's something I always think about now.
Or Desmond saying, like, now I want you to take it this way.
Yes.
Does anybody actually, as you're writing now, saying it as you would be performing it, in a sense?
Desmond, I always have with writing. I've always had some moments of being like, wait, that doesn't sound right. Let me say it aloud and see what it's like. Because often you do that and the sentence corrects itself. You're like, oh no, this is what I need to do instead.
Yes,
totally. It's a different way of communicating, you know, over a podcast and kind of more of a conversational format versus, you know, versus writing a long form story or social media. So I think the two kind of play off each other super well.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was younger and I would do like plays or musical theater, and you have to memorize what you're going to say. But then once you're actually saying it, you have to say it in a certain way so that it comes across correctly.
And that's a question I want to ask. There's a commonality between all these episodes that we kind of shared. You know, it's I had a path set out in front of me, and then I went this way, and these exchanges is what has skyrocketed me or boosted me into a direction in my career path or life. What do you think is this the biggest commonality between all these clips that we shared from these two seasons?
That's a great question.
It is. I was going to say it is that journey that each of them take, that each person has, because they're transformed somehow by what they've experienced, whether they're going on like what I'd call a traditional exchange, like Fulbright program or a U.S. speaker program. These experiences just change the way they look at things and I think broaden their horizons.
I totally agree, Asha. I love this TV show. I've talked about it, but it's called Chef's Table, and it kind of documents the story of an individual chef. And it's less about what kind of cuisine they make and kind of the food that they're making, but more about their personal story and how they got to where they are and kind of where they're going. And I think that has been definitely an underlying theme on this podcast, is how international exchange can really act as that platform for people to you know, go on and make a difference in communities.
You know, as you guys were talking and thinking about the clips with Dr. Brandon Oz, as sometimes we would call him, and his episode and with Stephanie's, I really saw the influence of other people. You know, I think that's part of it with exchanges. You are not only making this big, bold choice to go someplace else where you don't know anyone, you're also open to new people and new experiences. And they end up being massively influential. I mean, even Dr. O in his episode talks about how his experiences on his exchange ended up changing his career path and his time with the people in the lab who were very kind and gracious to him really changed things. So I saw that as a big commonality. Looping it in with everyone else, there is, you know, the case of they're sharing their stories. They are all these incredible storytellers. I thought that about Dan Tawney's episode. You know, he's just so good at telling his story. And I think all of them are, which is why they are our voices of exchange.
Maria, to add on to that, one of the things that is offered through a lot of these exchange programs and a commonality I see between all these extraordinary individuals is they all have a life. They lived a life, you know?
Exactly.
And as you say every week, everyone has a story to tell because they are living a life to tell a story.
Absolutely.
And I just think that it's sometimes what they say, life imitates art. I think art is imitating life because we're telling these stories in this way. And that's why your voice saying every week, everyone has a story to tell, is probably one of our greatest taglines I think we have. And yeah, I think you came up with that. So good job.
I did, because it's true. You know, I really believe it. I mean, I think Asha knows it too from journalism, and you probably know it too from all the podcast work you've done. Every single person, everyone has a story to tell. And I think that we're really lucky that we get to capture the stories of our exchange alumni.
I totally agree, Maria. I think, you know, working in a virtual environment too is, we've been conducting these interviews completely online, virtually with our podcast guests. And I think in a way that has enabled a really, you know, a deeper connection with those who we talk to. And I think has really sort of resulted in, you know, more meaningful, deeper personal sort of reflections of their lives, as you said. So I think that's been really great to see too.
I'm happy you said that, because you guys, some might not know that Voices of Exchange is produced by the Office of Alumni Affairs and the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs at the U.S. Department of State. And our office opens the door to global, keyword, global alumni networking, professional development, and grant opportunities.
So thank you from all of us to all of you for joining us today. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, January 6th for the next episode of Voices of Exchange, when we talk to entrepreneur, podcast host, and IVLP Exchange alumni, Needy Needy. Until then, happy holidays and have a happy and healthy new year.
Happy New Year.
This is Voices of Exchange.